If you want to give some evidence to back these things up, help us to believe it. If you don't choose not to do that, then help us just to believe what we can. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Saturday, 9 o'clock. We'd like to try to change some of the light bulbs to LED. So we're supposed to get them on Tuesday. So if anybody wants to help with that, we appreciate it. Eric's the boss. So if everybody gets a, you know, curly hair, gets shocked, it's his fault. So on the Holy Sabbath, 9 o'clock. So, okay, we'll keep going through Genesis 1. There's going to be a couple unusual doctrines that we come through here for some. And if the Spirit bears testimony to your spirit that that's true, fine. If you don't, that's fine. Doesn't matter to me. Okay, and I dare say that a person should be willing to look at both sides of the issues. You look at the evidence, or you look at the arguments, you look at the pros and the cons, and then decide. And don't worry about it. Not a big deal. So in Genesis 1, as a quick overview, it looks to me that Genesis 1, verse 1, and verse 2, at the max, would be about 2,000 years. Okay, at the max. And then Genesis 1, 3 to 2, verse 3 is 7 days, seven 24-hour days where he created some things. But in those creation of some things, nothing is mentioned about the creation of angels, the devil, or water. Nothing's mentioned in there. Everything else is mentioned except for those things. And if we find other places in the Bible, we might discover or at least know where to plug in the devil. He had to have time to be created, to be perfect, to rule over the angels as cherubs, to fall. Okay, and so somewhere we got to plug him in there. So this, to me, the idea of the gap is the explanation for it. Now, God does skip many years on occasion. I'll show you some of those. So then you have Moses writing about chapter 1, 3 to 2, 3, where he starts, if we want to call it recreation, but actually it is a creation, but the word create, made, formed, and said are all used in that creation story. There, so, and on your handout, if you want to look at the verses, on number 2, verse A, B, C, D. There's the word created, formed, and made, all in the past tense. And that's where all three, like letter C, created, formed, made. In those two verses, all three words are used. So it shows there's a slight variation on those things. And so many, many arguments or many ideas will be a argument or an idea between two opposing viewpoints, and a person should look at both sides. And so that's what we're going to do, look at both sides. As a general overview, it looks like God created, Genesis 1:1. Satan destroyed, Genesis 1:2. God judged, Genesis 1:2. God created, form, made, and said, Genesis 1, 3, and following. Okay, and that's what it looks like to me. But, not a big deal. I'm not going to fuss with anybody about it. This is strange doctrine as far as Hebrews 13 says, and we're not going to be occupied with it, but it does answer a lot of questions where you can plug some things in that you couldn't figure out before. So, and Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You have two entities, heaven, earth, visible, invisible. So, earth, visible, invisible, heaven. Okay, you have immortal, heaven, mortal, earth, celestial, heaven, terrestrial, earth, spiritual, heaven, natural, earth. So, you have two entities there. And God created that, the heaven and the earth. God is not, we're not pantheists. God created it's something. He created something. Heaven and earth. The heaven is not earth. The earth is not heaven. So We're going to look at in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. We're still under on the idea of in the beginning. Okay, the seventh inning stretch, in the beginning. Okay, so that's what we're going to look at. If you would, Proverbs chapter 8. As we come through the Bible, as we come through time, God enlightens, gives more light on certain subjects, and he'll filter it throughout the Bible. So we're looking at a context of the beginning, in the beginning. Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8 is wisdom personified. I'm going to try to tell myself to slow down on this and slow read through these passages slowly. I usually get in a pretty big hurry. So if I get going too fast, throw something, hopefully not a rotten egg. Okay, Proverbs 8, verse 1, doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? So wisdom is personified. This personification of wisdom will be Jesus Christ. If you would, drop down to verse 22. The Lord God, possessed me, wisdom, in the beginning. In the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Works of old. Okay, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning. And or ever the earth was. So Jesus Christ was before the earth. So that's our context. What's in the beginning? So we got in verse 23, everlasting from the beginning, Jesus Christ, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths. What's a depth? When there were no depths. Run that through the Bible. You'll have the sea, the depths of the sea. Psalm 68, verse 22. Did I write these down? Nope. That you're supposed to write all that in that little space I gave you. Okay. The depths of the sea, Psalms 68, verse 22. The depths of the earth, Psalm 71, 20. The depths of the earth. Depths of the earth. Okay, the face of the depth. That'd be chapter 8, verse 27 of Proverbs. He prepared the heavens. I was there when he set a compass upon the face of the depth. Face, as in face. Okay, the face of the depth. The depths of hell. Proverbs 9, verse 18. The depths of hell. Okay, that one we pretty much know about. The depths of hell. Hell has three parts. Okay, and so forth, so on. Remember, Jonah went to hell, and he was in the depth. Jonah chapter 2. I have that one, Jonah chapter 2. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Andy, Obadiah, Jonah. Jonah 2. Jonah says, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou cast me into the deep, and in the midst of seas, and the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Verse 5, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul, the depth closed me round about. Depths, water, what's below the earth? Water. The depths of water. It's the depths of the sea. Micah 7:19. Jesus cast our sins in the depths of the sea. Micah 7, verse 19. And then you have the depths of Satan. Okay, if you would, hold your finger in Proverbs 8. We're still going to come back to it. Look at Exodus chapter 20. Right in the Ten Commandments is an unusual idea. The Lord hides these things sometimes. Exodus 20, verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, level one, or that is in the earth beneath, level two, or that is in the water under the earth, level three. Boom, boom, boom. So that's strange. How many times have we said the Ten Commandments or read the Ten Commandments, never saw that in there? And that's about great. We get so stuck on the graven image. Of course, the Catholics take that out, split number 10. Okay, back in Proverbs 8, when there were no depths. So we're still talking before Genesis 1 in the beginning. The wisdom before Genesis 1:1, when there were no depths. So the idea is the Lord's creating the depths or the levels in Genesis 1, verse 1. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no fountains abounding with water. When did water get created? It was there in Genesis 1, 2, but nothing was said. When he put the firmament, he divided the waters. Okay, and that firmament, when you open the windows of firmament, what happens? Water comes down, because there's water up and water below. Our atmosphere is water. It's called humidity. Water is, you know, either liquid, gaseous, or vapor, okay, then solid. So that's the idea there. Where there are no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was, I brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth. Okay, he had not made the earth. Is that the earth of Genesis 1:1, or is that the earth where he calls the land earth in Genesis 1:7 or 8? He calls it earth there with a capital E there. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there when he set a compass. I would circle that, compass. A compass upon the face of the depth. Now we know what a compass is, right? And when you have the compass up, the top, the circular part is the face of the compass. So we'll understand that. We understand what that is. So what we do is we take what we understand and try to apply what God is writing. And yeah, we can see both sides. We can see what the world says this and the Bible says this, or maybe, you know, we can't. And we're not going to get all the answers for both sides of the coins, but at least we want to look at it the best we can. So I would take note of verse 27. He set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above. Okay, now clouds are very significant with the Lord. As far as clouds, clouds are water that's in vapor. And clouds is what Jesus is going to come back in. If it's a sunny day with no clouds, he's going to bring the clouds with him. So clouds are very, very something. There's some things in the Bible that, you know, we're not going to get with our finite minds. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep. The deep. The deep in the Bible can refer to the entire universe, but it also can refer to the Atlantic or Pacific Ocean, the oceans themselves. So the context, you got to try to figure it out. Okay, as far as the deep goes. When he gave the sea his decree. Okay, the water should not pass his commandments. What water? The water has boundaries. And God says, you will not pass these boundaries. Now, we know the promise of the rainbow and everything, but this is before that. So he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment. When he appointed the foundations of the earth, a building has a foundation. Okay, and so he's going back to the foundations of the earth. Then I, wisdom, Jesus Christ personified, was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. So that's the purpose why God created the earth, so it would be inhabited, because that gives us value. God is interested in the inhabitants of the earth. If an evolutionist, you're an accidental chance, you're of no value. That's why their lives are miserable. You know, and then they get all confused with transgenderism, and then the suicide rate of transgenders is unbelievable. And it's because they are striving with their God. They're not facing the facts of their God. And they're miserable people. They're without hope, without God. But with our Bible, when we see that, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. That's what the Lord delights in. That gives us value. So the I was Jesus Christ. So do we have something else to back that up, that Jesus Christ was obviously at the creation? We can go with John 1, verse 1. You got that memorized. I'm skipping to number 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then Colossians 1, 15. Jesus is the firstborn of God. And Jesus Christ is the Creator. All three members of the Godhead was instrumental in the creation. So in Colossians 1:15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. So you have the dual entities. Whether there be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. Now all those four are visible and invisible. Principalities and powers, that's what we wrestle against. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Consist, the idea is entropy now. Okay, what's holding the world together is God's word. Hebrews 1 verse 3. By the world is upheld by his word. Now that makes sense, because if he spoke it into existence, why would he not uphold it with his word? And as far as entropy goes, or less energy in a closed system, or things fall apart, or all clocks run down, or our batteries wear out, what keeps our cars, you know, from wearing out quicker is an outside entity does care and maintenance on it. And what keeps the world from blowing up is the outside entity, God, hasn't said boom yet. And when God says boom, it's gone. That's Revelation chapter 20, before the white throne judgment. You see, so man always gets a cattywampus. They say boom at the beginning. God says no, boom's at the end. And so there's Jesus, the Spirit, at the beginning. If you would go to Isaiah 40. Now we're back on number 2. Back to number 2. So far we've read beginning, we've read foundations of the earth. Okay, those are some things we want to be looking for, fountains of the deep. Okay, Isaiah 40. Now, Isaiah 40 through 48, 49 is God directly speaking about himself. Okay, you have two places in the Bible like that, here and Job 38 to 42, and we're going to go back to Job 38. Isaiah 40, verse 21. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Okay, so our context is that beginning again, Genesis 1:1. Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? Okay, so there's a second witness, a verification of their context. Beginning, foundations. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Circle, as in Proverbs 8, compass. Okay, if they're together. And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretcheth out the heavens. The heavens are stretched out as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. A tent. You ever set up a tent? And you stretch that out, and you've got the firmament over. As far as he's laying, he's describing it to us. Okay, and the thing is, we often have preconceived ideas and we don't get it. But he's describing it for us right there. Okay, in that verse, you'll see the heavens are like a curtain. Now, I always forget the scientific term for the northern lights. There we go. Okay, people that see that will say that it's like a curtain. And if you get the World Book Encyclopedia and look up under that word, Northern Lights, it'll run you to the scientific one. It will say it's like a curtain. Where did they get that idea from? God set it up like that. So he's describing it for us. He's describing us in the beginning and things like that. Hebrews 1, verse 10. I'm kind of skipping on some of these. Skip around. Hebrews 1, verse 10. Hebrews 1:10 is a quotation from Psalms. It's a quotation from the Old Testament, so he has it recorded in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And you'll see that God the Father in verse 8 calls God the Son God. And then he says in verse 10, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands." So that one jumps over. The heavens jumps where he divides them. But then it says, "They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, and thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." And what he's going to do, he's going to pull back the curtain. And he's going to say, "No more glass darkly. Look, and every eye will see him." Revelation 1:7. Every eye. That's something to think about. How's that happening? Okay, and so we got to kind of come back and try to figure that out. It's, you know, not possible in some folks' mind, but it is possible in the Bible mind. Okay, and so the Lord is pulling back his clothes so people see. And that's why in Revelation 6, they say the rocks fall on us because they're going to see God in all his majesty. But they've been fighting all that time. He's going to take that curtain, and it's not going to be the wizard. It's not going to be the wizard. Don't look behind the curtain. That Wizard of Oz was a mockery of God in the Bible. That's what its intention was to do. To mock God in the Bible. Okay, but before that, in Matthew 24, verse 21, here's another place where the word beginning is used. And this one is just a one-liner, basically. And this is about the tribulation. Matthew 24, 21. "And then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be." Well, that's pretty bad. Worse than Genesis 6. Worse than Genesis 6. Worse than fallen angels coming down and cohabiting with women, you know, and having the Greek mythology where they mess up the DNA, where it's man and animal, man and mermaid, man and fish, man and this, man. They mess everything up. And God says, Genesis 6, enough of that. "And so as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of coming Son of Man." That's why we're seeing what we're seeing. That's why Hollywood's telling people. They're not hiding it. They're getting people geared up for it. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 3. This is the one that Peter, God gives him light about heavens in the past and heavens now. Now, if a person really gets into this stuff and you study Atlantis, the lost city of Atlantis, look at the continent of Africa, and in the Sahara Desert, there's a formation in the sand still that looks like some people think that's where the city of Atlantis could have been. And maybe it's true, I don't know. The Atlantic Ocean gets its name after something. I think in the Bible, the word Atlantis isn't found in the Bible, but I think in the Bible it possibly would be Tyrus. Because Tyrus, on one occasion, is referred to as an island, and another occasion, it's referred to as a seacoast. And we learn from history that men don't learn from history, so they repeat it. And I'm not trying to get the Bible compatible with some things other people have, but possibly you can give an answer to people who have studied some of these things, and you say, well, the Bible doesn't hide, you know, the Bible mentions it. Why don't you consider Jesus Christ instead of going off looking at the other things? Your answers are found in the Bible instead of some hidden books that nobody has. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So our context is Genesis 1, verse 1. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Whereby the world that then was, there was a world before that in Genesis 1:1. In Genesis 1, the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Okay, the second flood in Genesis 6 destroyed everything on the earth. The first flood destroyed the earth. I think it's in Genesis 9 verse 11 where he gives you two floods. And one destroys the people and animals, and the other destroys the earth itself. And I think that's the one in Genesis 1, 2. Genesis 9, verse 11. I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all the earth of flesh be cut off anymore by the waters of a flood. Okay, that's one. Neither shall anymore be a flood to destroy the earth. There's two of them. One's in Genesis 1, 2. Because the earth is covered with water in Genesis 1, 2. And there's one in Genesis 6 where the earth is covered with water again. That answers about why he told Adam to replenish. Genesis 1, 28, where he told Adam to replenish. That's the verse, if I care to know if a person is a real Bible believer and if they get talking about it, I say Genesis 1, 28, is replenish right? Is replenish the right word? Ken Hovind will say no. Ken Ham will say no. They don't believe it. Okay? For some reason, I don't know that. I think they think it's going to hurt their ministry. I don't know why. It's not going to hurt their ministry. It's actually going to aid their ministry when you agree with the Bible. But that's their choice. Okay? And to me, they got to deal with that word. So we got replenished there. So 2 Peter, and then chapter 3, verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved in the fire against the day of judgment, perdition of ungodly men. So that's the one we're seeing. Okay, so what did the Lord create in the beginning? Okay, Genesis 1, verse 1. Now, we got to go other places to find out. Okay, so we find out in John 8:44, Jesus Christ said to the Pharisees. And he's talking to the Pharisees. Now, those Pharisees, some of those Pharisees were flesh and blood men like you and I. Nicodemus would have been one of those characters. But some of those Pharisees were literal walking, talking devils like Judas Iscariot. John 8:44, he said to them, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Genesis 1:1. So right before the beginning, as far as this earth goes, Satan was around, Lucifer. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. So that's not, he's not, now he was deformed in the creation story. We get to day two on that. But still, the idea, there he is from the beginning. So he's there in Genesis 1:1. He is there. And he's a murderer from the beginning. So then we go to Ezekiel 28. I'm thinking about going verse by verse or through Ezekiel, but man, oh man, oh man. That's a toughie. Thinking about after this, trying to go through that. Okay, anybody that teaches about demonology, they call it demonology, or anything about devils, yeah, it doesn't matter if they're Bible believers or not, they will take you to Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. So they got that right. So in Ezekiel 28, as usual, he will address Satan or demonic kings. He will address them as a king because they are kings. So, man, as it was in the days of Noah, are some of these world leaders what we not think they are? I mean, when the devil is thrown into hell, we know he's Leviathan in his natural state, but when he's thrown into hell in Isaiah 14, the people that witness that will say, is this the man? He will shapeshift into a man. And that's a whole different topic. But Paul says, why are you marveling with that? That's not a big deal. Paul says, that's not a big deal. People say, I don't even get that. Paul says, no marvel, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. I mean, kids' cartoons have it. They got faith in it. So Isaiah 28, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Well, that's three people, or beings, or whatever you want to call them. Adam, Eve, Lucifer. So he's back there. But he fell way before that. He had been in Eden, the garden of God, and then it describes him there. Verse 14, he calls him the anointed cherub. At the end of verse 13, prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. So he's right there. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. He's right there. Okay, and let's see. Let's try Job 38. Oh, I got Ezekiel 31, 4 verse for some reason. Oh, yeah. If you go to Job, go back to Ezekiel 31, 4, and here's where we discover when the water was created. Ezekiel has seven chapters in a row that's about the devil. 26 to 32. Seven chapters right in a row. Once he calls him Pharaoh, here he calls him the Assyrian, the devil or the Antichrist. Ezekiel 31, verse 3. Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon with fair branches and with a shadowing shroud and a high stature. And his top was among the thick boughs. The waters made him great. So that water was right there in Genesis 1:1. Satan and water. And what about angels? Now we're in Job 38. What about the angels? I'm going faster than I thought. Oh, you still got that, don't you? Okay, Job 38. Remember, Job would have been a contemporary, Eliphaz the Temanite. Eliphaz was the firstborn son of Esau. Eliphaz was in his upper years, elderly man at the time. So Job is back there. As far as it goes, Job was probably 40s or 50s at the time. Elihu was younger. He's the author. He's listening to Job. He's talking to three elderly men, men from Teman area, a place known for wisdom. And so these guys get implying that Job is the Antichrist. And then Elihu, he does one step better. He said, oh, you're not the Antichrist. You're just the workers of iniquity. And they basically say, your kids died because they deserve to die. I mean, these guys were ruthless on Job. And then God Job said, I wish God would talk, and so God talks. Chapter 38, God starts speaking to Job. Job 38, 1, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. So the whirlwind took up Dorothy's house, and it landed on the wicked witch of the east. See where they're getting this stuff? It's right out of the Bible. And said, so who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Now, I don't know if that question is, he's talking to Job. So is he saying, Job, you're not giving him right answers. But later on, he said, Job was right. He said to the three fellows, you're wrong, Job's right. And then he says, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I would demand of thee, and answer thou me. Okay, Job, question one, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you? Genesis 1:1. Where were you? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who has laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who stretcheth the line upon it? Get the tape measure out. Making a foundation. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Well, Job implied it's hanging on nothing, the foundations. But there's foundations and there's pillars in there. Okay, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. See, they were there. Genesis 1 verse 1, when God created heaven and earth, they started singing because they were there. Satan was there, water was there, and the angels were there. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. And when he created, them angels started hooting, hollering, and singing to the Almighty God. Why? Because they were there. Okay, and these sons of God in the Old Testament are referring to angels and or could be, you know, if they fall, if they leave their first estate, leave their spirit beings, become flesh, then they die like men. Okay, but the idea is there they are right there. And if you keep answering these questions, there's so much in these questions. Whoa. Or who shut up the sea with doors? Down in the bottom of the sea, the oceans. When it brake forth as it were issued out of the womb. When I made the cloud the garment thereof and thick darkness a swaddling band for it. Darkness is mentioned in verse 2. Thick darkness, so thick you can cut it with a knife. And God has that darkness when he judges things, because if man would see his judgment, they would lose their mind. That darkness was at Calvary. Verse 10, and break up for it my decreed place and set bars and doors. So there's bars, there's chains, there's prisons below the earth, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the dayspring to know his place? It has a place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth. Where's the ends of the earth? That phrase is found over and over in the Bible. Where are the ends of the earth? It's kind of hard to figure that one out. That the wicked might be shaken out of it. Because it looks like the Antichrist will take the Jews to the end of the earth. And that's a topic down the road. It is turned as clay to a seal. How does that work? How does a Roman centurions seal a document? They take hot clay, put it on a document, they take a seal, and they push it flat down and seal it. And he's describing it. And they stand as a garment. He described that. And from the wicked, their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. High arm, Antichrist shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea? So there's springs. Like Jerusalem has springs, just water running out of everywhere. Near Heidi, is a spring, is out of this rock. Out of the rock comes water, and it just comes and never stops. Where does that water come from? You can get online, type in findaspring.com. Okay, and the closest one that's a good spring here is Delphi. Jan and I went down to and found Delphi one. Okay, but there's one 20 minutes from Heidi's place. And it's just a hole in a rock, side of a rock, and water keeps coming out. We go and we collect the water. You know, if she wants to start a business, collect the water and sell it. It's just you got to walk a quarter mile to get to it and carry everything out. And so there's springs of the sea that turn into salt water because of the salt. Hast thou walked in the search of the depth? You ever walked down there, Job? No, but Jesus Christ did. He, before he ascended, he descended. Have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Job, you see that? No, I have. I created it. I've seen that stuff. Hast thou perceived the breath of the earth? What's the breath of the earth? Breath of the earth. What's the word we use for that today? Width. The width of the earth. The width of the earth? The Bible has given us all these clues. Some strange stuff. We'll try to put them all together. Declare if thou knowest it all. Where is the way where light dwelleth? Light is constantly moving, so it's called a way. And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? But darkness is in a place. Light's always moving. You can bend the light. I'm not scientific enough to figure that out. That thou shouldest take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldest know the paths to the house thereof, and so forth and so on. So basically, so far what we've seen is that in Genesis 1:1, Lucifer was there, the angels were there, and water was there. So we've discovered those creation of those three two beings or whatnot. Okay, I'm going to go a little bit more on the water. Well, I have the references there for you for the water if you want to research that. And then that will bring us into verse 2, where we're going to look at without form, void, darkness, face of the deep, waters covering it. Okay, and then we'll try to come through that and try to figure that out, and then we'll keep going from there. Okay. Enough said. Lord, thank you for your words. And Lord, a lot of this is, this is something, your book. Help us to admire you, to be in awe of you and your word. Help us never add or subtract a word to the Bible, try to make it say what we think it should say. And we thank you for these things. But obviously, the most important thing for a person's soul is the gospel. The most important thing is life, is final authority. That's what we want to major on. And yes, we want to study your word and be in awe of it and try to find some answers in life. Thank you for creating the earth, that we become something that's important to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.